KOJB 90.1, The Eagle. Good day. Welcome to Environmental Voices. I'm Marie Rock. Joining me once again in the studio is Daryl Northbird. What are we going to talk about today, Daryl?
We're talking about air and water.
Okay.
And that they are two of the most essential things on this earth that we need besides food and shelter. You know, and so I think we talked about shelter earlier, you know, but and as far as food goes, I think that we could have kind of covered it with the state when we're talking about the wolves, you know, and the population stuff. So here we are at air and water. You know, our air is so precious to each and every one of us. And we all know that as soon as we get to the cities, we're inhaling all this smog and all these car fumes, you know, and everything else, you know, and you know, is it any wonder why, you know, a bunch of us are on these little oxygen tanks, you know? It's not just about smoking, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And we've got these little oxygen tanks we carry around, you know, to get enough oxygen into our bodies, you know, to have oxygen-rich blood. And so, you know, we're looking up in the sky, you know, and, you know, the one thing that really amazed me is when my grandma, we were sitting there and she says, "Oh, they're scratching the sky again."
Scratching the sky?
Scratching the sky.
What does that mean?
Well, we've seen this airplane, you know, go across the sky and leave this white mark across the sky, you know?
Mm-hmm.
We all see those planes when they go overhead, you know, they leave that white. Those are chemtrails.
Mm.
You know, they leave all of those chemicals in the air, you know, and those come down and, you know, you see those, they're scratching the sky every day.
Yeah.
You know, you look up there all the time. And ever since she said that to me, I look at that. I look up there and I look at it all the time. You know, it's... And now, you know, we got this, in this day and age. You know, it wasn't so much, you know, 20, 30 years ago. But now in this day and age, we have all of these different kinds of weather.
Mm-hmm.
Once again, look at our weather that happened this past winter.
Yeah.
It was extremely cold here. And over in New York over there, they got dumped on with a lot of snow. And usually we're in the belt where we get a lot of snow.
Right.
But we weren't this year.
We just got really cold.
We just got really cold. As a matter of fact, it was colder here than it was in Alaska.
And yeah.
Everybody thinks about Alaska, we all think about, you know, this an eternal grip of winter there, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and but here, you know, we had the super grip of winter, you know. One thing about you know, little story is that 4th of July, I went on out to White Horse, South Dakota, and they gifted me with a horse. I didn't have no way to bring it back that year. So I said I'd return in the spring of the year and come get it.
Mm-hmm.
And so they said they'd hold it for me. So that winter, that was back in 93 and 94, we had another big cold snap. Remember them? There was 60 below weather, like in Bearish, Minnesota.
Wow.
I don't know if you were here in those years.
Oh, yeah, I was.
Yeah, so we had a big cold snap then again, too, you know, and it was again this past year. But and that's what that reminded me of because... they call me on up, and this guy Kermit, he says, "Hey," he says, "we got some good news and some bad news for you." I said, "Okay, well, what's the good news?" He said, "Well, the good news is your horse is still standing." I said, "Oh, well, what's the bad news?" He said, "Well, your horse is frozen solid," he said, you know, because it was so cold out there that year, you know.
Oh my gosh.
And my horse didn't make it, you know. So I wasn't able to go out there and ride him back. You know, that was my plan.
Oh,
I know, man. It just took one of the coolest adventures in my head away from me. You know, I wanted to go riding bareback all the way back to Minnesota. You know,
that would have been a rough ride.
I think it would have been fun, you know.
Oh, well, to each his own. I'm terrified of horses, so.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't tell any more horse stories.
No, I suffered a concussion when I was 11 when I fell off one, so.
Oh, okay.
That's the only reason. But anyway.
Okay, we're back. Now we're going to go to water.
Okay.
Water, you know, Only 1% of it, of all the Earth's water, is drinkable.
That's really too bad.
That is really too bad.
What about desalinization stations? Don't they do those over in the ocean?
Yeah.
But doesn't that cost like a ton of money to do it?
It costs like a ton of money, you know, and this and that. And, you know, we're taking away from the ocean. And you know, we have this 1% drinking water that we already have already. And here's these people, you know. Here's some guy, like, you know, 10, 15 years ago says, hey, I got an idea. Let's sell water. And at the time, it was free for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you go anywhere and you get water for free. You know, they had the water fountains everywhere, you know. And gosh darn, you know, everybody laughed at that guy. And here we are. Now, you go into the stores, you go buy water. It's more expensive than the Pops.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things, you know. And it's not even, it's no different than the tap water. And matter of fact, the tap water is probably cleaner than the bottled water.
Really?
Yes.
We have a bottled thing right out here in the station lobby.
Yeah, but it's probably more likely just tap water, you know.
Really?
Yeah. And there you are paying for it, you know.
Wow.
Yeah.
Never thought of it. I got a filter on my tap at home.
Yeah. And those are good, too. You know, they do, you know, filter out some, you know, but mm-hmm. not all things, you know.
I probably don't know want to know what I'm drinking, huh?
Well, you know, when I was in college, we were doing studies, you know, and the one study that, I don't know, am I allowed to say what type of water was the best water, bottle water?
You know? I probably would suggest no.
Okay, well.
But anyway.
I know that would have been a good thing to,
you know.
Everybody that I see, I do tell them that, though, you know.
You can tell me off air.
Okay. So I do that with everybody, you know, when they're buying water, you know, I tell them, you know, that we had run tests and this was the best one. So So I suppose now everybody was saying, Daryl, what's that best water?
You know? You can email Daryl to find out.
You can email my secret email.
Yeah, there you go. He's the water man.
Yeah. Well, like I said, you know, I love doing this kind of stuff, you know. I research it. Every day I research it. Once I research it, it just seems like there's never-ending research to it, and you just keep going and going and going, you know.
Lots of stuff to know.
Lots of stuff to know, you know. And so there's our air and there's our water, you know. Keep them clean. One last thing before we end it today, you know. When I was a child, and I'm sure that you've heard this, I could see all the way to the bottom of the lake.
Yeah.
I could. Now I can't.
Why is that?
Pollution.
Wow.
You know, and that's just in my time.
Uh-huh.
You know? I mean, think about that, you know? So, let's try to keep them cleaner, you know?
All right.
Okay.
Awesome. Thanks, Daryl.
Yeah.
Hey, that's going to wrap up another edition of Environmental Voices for KOJV 90.1 The Eagle. I'm Marie Rock.